You know, I don't think the group knew what I was going to talk about tonight, but I'm talking about the truth will make you free, and they sang a song about it. You know, there are many people looking for experience instead of what the Word says. You know, operating in the Word of God really says whether you're a disciple or not. Look at this in John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So if you're not abiding in the word, you're not a disciple. I didn't say it, Jesus did. Hello. And then he goes on and he says, "The truth, you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free." Now, this is a very powerful, yet very practical verse of scripture. You notice he is talking to those that have already believed in him. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to believers. Jewish believers, but he's talking to us. We're believers. You know, these verses really carry an impact if you'll really get a hold of them. You see, here in these verses, it speaks to us about how to overcome Satan's attacks. And it's the word. Mark 4:14. Some people are like the seeds along the path. Where the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown into them. As soon as they hear it. Now, when people realize it's the enemy that's coming after them, sometimes they respond in many different ways. Through the years, I've dealt with people through about 60 years of ministry. If Satan comes around, They don't want to do anything that might get him upset. Well, he's upset anyway. He doesn't like it because you're a Christian, so anything you do, it don't matter. But there's some people, they don't want to do anything to upset the devil. You know, there's a story, I've heard it many, many times. I heard it years and years ago. He was sick and laying in bed, and he couldn't get up. His pastor come to visit him, and he saw that there on the laying beside his bed on the bedstand was the whatever you call that thing beside the bed. Nightstand. Okay, thank you. And so he saw he'd been probably must have been reading his Bible, and he said, "Okay, here's what we need to do, brother. You need to rebuke the devil." And the man looked up at him and said weakly, "Pastor, I am in no position to antagonize anybody." That's the way some people look at the enemy. You know, some people decide to stay, far away from the Bible. You know, they go to church on Sunday, but they don't do anything else. They don't read the Bible or anything. You know, well, listen, it don't make no efforts. The devil's going to come after you. How you respond when the enemy's coming after you is vitally important. So let's begin to look at this John 8:31. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." If you abide. If. There it is. And it's going to stay up there for a little bit. The NIV says, "If you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples." God's Word translation says, "If you live by what I say, you're truly my disciples." Now, I want you to notice what it's saying here. It says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. That's NIV. God's word. If you live by what I say, you're truly my disciples. New century. If you continue to obey my teaching, you're truly my followers. Amplified. If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live according to them, you're truly my disciples. Message Bible. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. I notice this. All of this has to do if. The little word if. You know, that's a conditional word. And you know, many people are living in iffies. They live in iffy land. If only I would have done this. If only so-and-so hadn't have done this. If I wouldn't have come down this road. You know, if, everything's if. You know, that word is used to shift blame. Well, if so-and-so hadn't have done so-and-so, it's not my fault. Anybody been there? All of you that have siblings have been there because you've done it. If it wasn't for Mark, or if it wasn't for Joanne, I wouldn't be in this. It wasn't me. Come on now, don't look at me like that. You know good and well what I'm talking about. How many of y'all ever said that? If it hadn't been for you, your brother or your sister, yeah, got yourself out of trouble. You know, if is an excuse. This little word if has power to keep you actually from dealing with what you need to deal with. It has the potential to keep you in the past, or the potential to propel you into the future. See, when you use the word if sometimes, it's because you have lack of knowledge of something. Now, some people get stuck in the if land. You know, if God does certain things, then I will do something. No, it's not if God does. It's if you do certain things, then God will do certain things. Come on. See, you know, now here we need to, this is the if land we need to live in. If you abide in my word, if you hold my teachings, you are my disciples. See, Jesus is saying, if you don't abide in the word, then you're not his disciple. Don't look at me like that. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Some people are looking. Another translation, if you don't live by what I say. If you live by what I say, you're truly my disciple. Then that means if you're not living by what he says, then you're not his disciple. Come on. You know, if you abide in my word and hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you're truly my disciples. You see, now that's the if land we need to live in. See, now let's look at this other word here for a minute. That word abide. That word abide. Now, that Greek word that's translated abide, according to Strong's, means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. We need to develop this attitude of determination to stay in the Word of God. See, many people get out of the word because they start listening to what somebody has to say about the word. Well, this is what I believe about this. Well, any of us ever heard my dad talk? He said, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you think. What does the Bible say? See, we don't abide in what somebody else is saying. We abide in what the Bible says. Stay. Stay, it means to stay in a given place, state, or relation, or expectancy. Learn to stay in a constant relationship or in a constant relation of expectancy from the Word of God. See, God's blessing comes from those that continually abide, stay. Abide means to stay in the Word. Let's go to John 15:7. We see that word abide again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You see, abiding is not a one-time event. It's a continual thing. You see, abiding is more than a one-time experience. It's a lifestyle. I know you've heard these scriptures before, but I don't know whether you ever heard anybody come at them like this or not. But this is good stuff. This is good stuff. You see, you can experience salvation, but then you need to experience daily abiding in the Word. Because it's the abiding in the Word that's going to ensure your future outcome, not your one-time experience. Thank God for that. You needed that to get in to God. But if you're going to be successful, you have to continually abide in the Word daily. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then that you can ask what you desire. Then evidently you can be abiding in Christ through your experience of salvation, but the Word of God is not abiding in you, and so there ain't no use to ask for nothing. Come on now.
That's right.
Isn't that what it's saying? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. See, there's a lot of people, we need to realize that abide in my word. It shows that our entire being in Christ is in the Word. In the Word. In the Word, we live and move and have our being. Or in Him, that's to say, it's the same thing. See, so here, you got two words, if and abide. Now, nobody pays much attention to them when you're reading that, but they're very important because they tell you something very important. By him saying if, that means you may not abide in the Word if you do it. That's what he said. He just said, if you abide in the Word, you're my disciples. Yes. I want you to notice he didn't command that you abide in the Word. He didn't say this is going to happen to you or that's going to. He just said, if you abide in my Word, then you can consider yourself my disciple. I mean, I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible says. I read it to you. So I said, you know, some people have trouble reading the Word, and they don't understand, why do you always talk about the Word? Well, right there is the reason I talk about reading the Word all the time, because if you abide in the Word, then you're truly a disciple of Christ. And if you can't abide in the Word without the words beginning to abide in you. And when they begin to abide in you is when you can begin to expect the promises of God to begin to operate in your life. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, let's go now where Solomon is talking about something. Thank y'all. Y'all can put that down now unless you want to leave it up there for them people to see. It might help somebody. In Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Look here. Here it says, if you abide in my word, then here he said, incline your ear to say, and don't let them depart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For he's talking about his word, right? Give attention to my word. Incline your ear. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now let's read that from the NLT. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen careful to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. I mean, you want to have the good life, the more abundant life, then get into the word. The word, let the word abide in you. What the Bible says. Now, let's continue this. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples. Now, the word disciple is a Greek word here, translated disciple is a Greek word that means a learner or a pupil, according to Strong's Concordance. So this gives us a picture of what discipleship is then. Discipleship is a what? Pupil, learner. Okay. When does this all begin? When you begin believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in your salvation is when your discipleship starts. And it does not end until you're out of this life. Either got called home or Jesus comes. Discipleship begins the minute a person accepts Jesus as their Savior. So, if you're going to continue to be a disciple, disciple means discipline. What are you being disciplined in? You're being disciplined in the Word. So, if your discipleship, you're in discipleship, how many of you are in discipleship? I'm glad. I don't know what some of you raised your hand, some of you didn't, so I don't know where you're at. It is a constant state of learning from the Word of God. Discipleship means constantly being in the Word. Now, I don't mean that you spend 24 hours a day in the Word. You can't do it and live. Don't work. But, there is a time for being in the Word. There's a time for enjoying life. There's a time for enjoying your family. All of that. See, some people get so overboard that they're so into this that they're in the Word all the time. If you just read the Bible 24 hours a day, you're going to go crazy. Because the enemy will take you wrong. See, if you notice, Jesus grew in every area of his life. Go read it. Yes, we are a natural being. We need the social activity. That's why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. He's talking to believers to assemble together. We need one another. But there is a time to abide in the Word. You abide in the Word. I mean, sometimes I'm driving down the road, I start thinking about the Word. I mean, you know, I'm in the car and ain't nobody else there. Sometimes I might just begin to quote a verse or something. If I'm having, sometimes if the enemy's coming against me, there are two scriptures that I use a lot, because I guess the enemy comes at me and that, I don't know what he comes at you, but the two scriptures that I use a lot, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. You know what? Being the pastor of this church and the head of this organization with all that we have, with the Rhema ministers and schools and everything else, the enemy can get on to you with a little bit of fear. But you got to learn that because you're in the Word, you're abiding in the Word, you combat him with the Word. How did Jesus defeat the devil? He quoted the Word of God to him. Oh, yeah, but that was Jesus. Hey, when he was quoting the Word to the devil, he was operating as a man, not in his deity. He died in his deity for us, but he operated for those 3 years, whichever one chronology age you want to go with, as a man anointed by God, because Peter said how God anointed Jesus naturally with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all who oppressed the devil. If he was operating in his deity, God wouldn't have had to anoint him. But we are anointed. He demonstrated that we can live the good life with God, with the Word. Now, constantly remaining in the Word involves constantly listening to the Word of God. Now, that means when you read it, you listen to what you say. Your mind is not thinking on something. See, a lot of people read the Word, but they're thinking about something else while they're reading. They might as well not even read it. Come on now, don't look at me like that. If you've ever been in college and they talk to you about how to study, they tell you if you're going to study this subject, then don't think about anything else. Think on what you're reading. Maintain what it says. When I was studying for my test when I was in Bible college, somebody come in the room. I said, get out of here. I don't want nobody messing with me. I'm concentrating on what I'm doing. Maybe I study different than anybody else, but I'd go in after supper from chow hall, and I'd go over and I'd sit down, and for about an hour or so, I would go over all the material for the test that day. Now I go to the gym, play basketball, do something, you know. I come back, take a shower, get my material, sit there on the side of the bed and read over it really fast, put it on the nightstand, go to sleep. My roommate's sitting over there studying. I wake up about 1:30 or 2 in the morning. He's still sitting over there studying. I shake my head, go back to sleep. I wake up. First thing I do is get that material. I read it. Shut the book. I don't want nobody to talk to me about it. I've got it. That's the way I do stuff. And I'd go make a better grade on a test. He studied all night, didn't make a good. I made a whole lot higher grade than he did. But the problem was, he was spending all that hour time studying, but he really wasn't concentrating. See, so when you, it's not the quantity of time that you spent reading, it's the quality of the time that you spend in the Word. Because I know people that have read a couple of chapters, and then as soon as they got through, you ask them what it was about. I mean, not 2 days later. I mean, 2 minutes after they read. Well, let's see. They can't tell you. You know why? Because they were reading it. They were seeing it with their eyes, but their mind was thinking about what they was going to do when they got through reading those chapters. Ooh. That's good preaching, Hagin. Go ahead. I believe I will. Thank you. Come on now. Abiding in the Word means constantly learning from the Word. Sometimes people go to church and the pastor or the minister gets up and he starts ministering on a subject that, oh, I know this. Listen, I don't care if you've heard it 500,000 times, if you will say, okay, Lord, let me learn what I can out from this. He'll bring something to you that you've never thought about before. Amen. You know, I've heard some people preaching and they're preaching from a passage that I've preached from. But I say, okay, I'm going to listen, see what they say. And they begin to get into the thing and say, man. And then it spurs me. And I get a completely different thought than I had in the other sermon. So now I go get another sermon out of the same verse of scripture. That can happen to you as you read. You can read the same scripture over several times and get something different out of it because you're concentrating on it. And the Holy Spirit then, if you're abiding in that word, the Holy Spirit will take it and he'll teach you different things from the same verse of scripture. From these verses, I've always zeroed in on the truth will set you free. Isn't that what it said down there when we were reading it? Huh? You should know the... See, but I never... This is different. You know. Now, constantly study. We've been talking about that. Now we're going to get to one that we don't like. Constantly obey what the word is saying. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to obey it. Come on now. See, we don't read the word for academic or intellectual satisfaction. Oh, I've read the Bible through 45 times. Really? How much of it have you really abided in? Hello. See, you read it to find out what God says, and then you go and you live it. Now it's about time to quit almost. Let's get over here into the, now that's in the abide, if an abiding part. Let's get over here in the truth will make you free. See, you should know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Well, what is the truth? Look in John 17:16-19. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. He's talking about us. This is Jesus. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, and that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And he said, here, your word is the truth. Let's read that from the NLT. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth, teaching them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy, holy by your truth. This is Jesus talking to Father God about us. I like this, the way it's translated here in the NLT. He said, I give myself as a sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. What is his truth? Right here he said, make them holy by your truth, teaching them your word, which is truth. So you see, what's going to set you free? The truth. What is the truth? We go right back, abiding in the word. Can you see it's coming back around? Hello? See, the question that we have to answer is, what am I basing my life on? What am I basing my material possessions on? What am I basing everything on? My spiritual experience. What am I basing everything on? We got to base it on the Word of God. Somebody give you some kind of a word. I got a word for you from the Lord, they say. I've had a lot of them say, I got a word from the Lord for you. The minute they started talking, I knew it wasn't from the Lord. You know why? Because it didn't line up with the word. It was out here in left field somewhere. Well, I got a letter just the other day. It's about that thick. This fella writing me said, the Lord just revealed to me that we're in the tribulation. And he goes on with a bunch of junk. And I read about three or four paragraphs. And I just throwed it down. I said, this is junk. You know why? Because it don't line up with the word. I don't care what anybody tells you. If it doesn't line up with the word, forget it. Oh, yeah, but it's supposed to come. I had a person one time. Well, they came up to, I think it was dead they came up to. I was standing there. And somebody had prophesied to them that they were going to have a great music ministry. And they said, Brother Hagin, what am I going to do about it? I went to a music voice person, teacher, and they told me that I'm tone deaf. What am I going to do? How am I going to have this great ministry? My dad is, a lot of y'all didn't know him. I mean, when he sometimes was really blunt, he said, nothing. Can you hear him saying that, honey? Lynette, I know Lynette. Sometimes, especially when it was stuff like that, he would get exasperated. Doug, can you hear him just telling the person, nothing? Doug stayed in his house lots of times and over there. But you know what? That's what you need to do with sometimes when somebody tells you something that's way out of kilter, nothing. I told somebody the other day, come up to me in one of my, I forget even where it was, one of my meetings, and they said something and said this, and what about this? I said, just put it on a shelf and forget it. If it comes to pass, okay. If it doesn't, then it wasn't right. Oh, okay, that really helps me. I don't know why they had to ask me. I mean, if somebody tells me something that sounds way off, I'm just lay it over here and leave it alone. Hello. See, are you abiding in the word? The truth will make you free. The word's what sets you free. Yes. Some people think it's shouting and dancing and running, and that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what sets you free. Some of you need to do that and get out of yourself because you're so afraid somebody gonna say something. And we're gonna talk about that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself, you know. In Adam Clark's commentary, he said this: it was a maxim of the Jews that no man was free, but he who exercised himself in the meditation of the law. And then he goes on to say, concerning this verse 32 here, a constant experiential knowledge of its power and efficiency or effectiveness. That's what he's talking about. Actually, the word, the knowledge of the word of God is what sets you truth. You shall know the truth. You shall know the word. And the word sets you free. People come all the time saying, well, the enemy just bothering me. I'm all burdened down. I said, why? Why are you burdened down? Oh, I just got all this stuff I got to do. I said, the Bible says that we are to cast all our cares on him. We're not to be burdened down. You see, you go back to the word. If you're abiding in the word, when you come up against a lot of this stuff that the enemy brings at you, you immediately can refute it because you are abiding in the word. Anybody getting anything? You know, what does the sign, what abiding in the word, being a disciple, what's it give you freedom from? Well, freedom from fear. You don't have to fear. Freedom from people. What do you mean? Well, too many people are concerned about what somebody thinks about them or says about them. You know what they say about me? I don't care. I'm living by the word. The word of God says that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't care what they say. What they say don't amount to a hill of beans. If it, you know, H.G. Wells said, the voice of our neighbor sounds louder in her ears than the voice of God. That's a good statement. The disciple of God is a person that ceases to care about people's opinion and cares about what the word says. How many of you have ever had somebody, you're maybe talking about the word and they said, well, let me tell you what I think about this. Anybody ever had that happen? Anybody ever heard some preacher say, well, let me tell you what I think the Lord meant? Right there, you're off course. Because the word says it, God said it, that's it. He said what he meant what he said, and he don't need me or you or anybody else to interpret for him. Hello. See, the truth shall make you free is a definite statement. It's not maybe so, hope so, maybe you'll get free one day. No, it is a definite statement. If you have the word and are living in line and by the word, you'll be free. Some say, well, I'm not. Well, then you're not living in the word. Yes, I am. No, you're not. There's no fear. There's no condemnation if you're in the word. Hello. Praise the Lord. Well, have you learned anything tonight? Did you get anything out of this? I'm 2 minutes over time, but that's all right. I don't usually go over time, so that's good. So amen. Father, tonight we have just explored some of your word. And Father, help us all to realize that if we're truly going to be your disciple, we have to abide in your word. And help us to abide there and stay there. And be obedient to the word and live in line with the word. Pattern our lives after the word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everybody stand up. Did y'all get anything tonight? I know that's a little different than you probably heard somebody go with these scriptures, but it was good anyway, even if I was the one saying it. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you happen to be in this place and you're not in Christ, you haven't accepted him as your personal Savior, then we invite you to do so you can abide in the Word of God and abide in and have that abundant life. The ladies are over here. The men are over here. Or if you need to rededicate your life to God, come down here. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for any reason, you want prayer for healing, you want prayer for somebody to agree with you for a job, you want prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front as we're dismissed and they'll pray with you. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to get that special package that we got for them, special gift. And if you're a first time guest and you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on. Join this Rhema family. We have a great time serving God. Oh, okay. I forgot to tell y'all about this. My wife reminded me. That's what a good helpmate does. Anybody notice that the sign, there's just two poles sticking up out there? Well, they have to take it all apart to put in the new faces on each side so we have the screens back up, you know. See, that sign's been there since 2007, and they don't make no parts for it anymore. So we have to put in a new sign. And they had to take the whole thing down and redo it and put it back up there. It's supposed to be up next Wednesday to about the tune of about $80,000. 87, you just got the bill. So anybody wants to give toward the sign, you can. How many of you enjoyed driving by and seeing the sign out there? Yeah. Praise the Lord. The digital signs, they're not cheap. I'll tell you that right now. Praise God. But hey, we doing it, right? The word says we can. Says that we are always can come through. He always gives us. If we plant seed, then he brings us seed. And we plant seed and he brings us more, you know, over and over again. Praise God. Sunday morning right here. Remember all the announcements that he announced Sunday. The angel tree would be going on, and we got to have the we're going to try to give as many several families. How many families we're going to try to give? 200 angels. But how many families we're going to try to give holiday meal to? About 40 families that can't afford to have a holiday meal. And the Bible says if you have the wherewithal to help, then you're supposed to do it, right? So look in the bulletin and it tells you what we need so we can make 40 different baskets and help those people. And if you wanted to say, well, I just give some money toward it. Well, you can do that by, how do you do that, honey? You know, on your offering envelope and just put for holiday meals. Because don't we go and buy some meat? Yeah, text it to We Care if you want to text. Just text it to We Care. Because you do go out and help and let them get turkeys so they'll have a turkey, right? We give them a coupon, yeah, for that. There it is on the screen. So if somebody wants to give some money so we can give them those coupons so they can go get turkey, that's good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it great to be able to help somebody that's in need? And you know what? When you help somebody that's in need, I tell you what, it comes back to you too. I don't know. I was somewhere the other day and I was in a restaurant. And when I went in, I didn't see anybody in that restaurant that I knew at all. But we got ready to leave and the waiter guy, he said, somebody's already paid. They wasn't a soul in that restaurant that I knew who they were. But somebody paid. Well, I'd paid for somebody else, you know. So the Lord, hey, it comes back. You can't outgive God. The more you give, the more he gives back. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's another sermon. I'm not going to preach that. Shake hands with somebody and tell them, hey, I'm going to abide in the word. How about you? We'll see you Sunday morning right here. If you need prayer for salvation, rededication, the Holy Spirit, any reason whatsoever you need somebody to pray with you, come to the front right now. God bless.